Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Accent on LA Talk Radio. I'm your host, Ilona Europa. For the past 6 years, Accent On is introducing live stories of people from around the world who speak with many different accents. We all came to America with our dreams of building a successful life here. This is the one of the most important show, I think, for Accent On, because we have both worlds. Right now, we will be talking business, we will be talking successful people in America with an accent, and I think time to just say hi to our very special guest, Ben Stein. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I know your name doesn't need to be reintroduced to us, but if I can remind people that you are writer, lawyer, you are lecturer, actor, commentator on political and economic issues, and I believe you are the best that America has to offer.
Well, you're very kind. I'm not, but you're very kind. I'm just one of many trying to make a living.
And I think you'll be teaching us a little bit how to get to the point that we have right to say what you said to us right now.
Oh, you're very kind.
And we also will be talking to Anna Sadowska, who is originally from Poland.
Hello.
Like me. And Anna is a successful realtor with her own company. And she's our advisor in buying, listing, and selling and investing in real estate and properties.
Very, very nice to be here today with you, Ilona and Ben. Thank you so much for being our guest.
My pleasure.
You are by far one of the most important people for me and for my business personally as well.
Well, God
and
bless you.
I'm very pleased to start our conversation. I hope to pick your brain today a little bit on stocks, as that's an area in my business that I lack a little bit, and for our listeners as well. So that's our goal today with you, and hopefully we'll have fun.
Okay, then first question. You recently said the Trump economy has become too strong. Do we need to be worried?
Well, we don't need to be worried that it's too strong in terms of employment. I mean, we're very happy to have high employment. We don't want to have inflation. The worry that's out there is that we're going to have inflation, that there's going to be such a demand for goods and services that the Federal Reserve will raise interest rates, and that will make bonds more competitive with stocks, and that will make people sell stocks and buy bonds. So that is our concern. We have a real inflation is a very, very bad thing for the stock market. It tends to be very good for honest business, real estate. Inflation is the real estate owner's dream, but it's the stockholder's nightmare. So we would like to have a situation where real estate is a good thing to own, but we don't want to have a situation where stocks are a disaster. We're nowhere near a situation where stocks are a disaster, by the way. Stocks, despite the recent corrections, I don't know when this airs, but as of today, Sunday, I think, is it the 11th or
11th,
12th? The
11th. February, yes.
The market was down roughly 10% in the last couple of weeks, but it's still up almost 20% for the year, which is, rather, since Trump took office. So that's a tremendous gain, and we do not want to give that back if we can avoid it.
Then I know 2008, 2009, I lived through it and I lost some place that I lived in. And then, of course, investment was wrong. And I just am worried why nobody warned the public.
Well, there were warnings about it. There were warnings about it. There were warnings Now we have to get a little bit technical, but there were warnings that the banking system was at risk because banks had set up enormous lending programs to loan to substandard borrowers. And that's what were called subprime borrowers. And they were making a lot of money out of it because they could charge high rates of interest on the loans. And they were insuring them by actually buying insurance from other banks on these mortgages. That's simplifying it. And there were warnings that there was too much of this going on, and it was becoming a very big gamble. And then the gamble burst. The real estate prices started to fall. There were a lot of defaults on these subprime mortgages, and the banks who were holding the subprime mortgages found that they were very greatly marking down their assets, and they were therefore in danger of insolvency. And then nobody thought that, here's where everyone got taken by surprise. Nobody thought the federal government would ever allow a large bank to fail. And Lehman Brothers was a very, very large bank, and nobody thought the government would allow them to fail. But the government allowed them to fail. And once they had done that, the economy went into a panic mode, because the government was supposed to be the people who stabilized the ship when the ship was in danger of sinking, but they let the ship sink. And that was a disaster. It was an incredibly stupid, foolish move. Hundreds of billions of dollars were lost, and it was probably the single wrongest move on a domestic policy issue by a government in my lifetime.
It's true. Who protected the buyers? Nobody.
No. Well, the buyers were part of the problem. The buyers of the houses who bought with subprime mortgages, they had only themselves to blame. If they couldn't pay their mortgages, I mean, why would that be your responsibility or Anya's responsibility or anybody's responsibility but theirs? But what happened was that the banks that had lent them the money became insolvent. At least one very big one became insolvent, and that sent a gigantic shudder through the entire financial system, a giant, scary, terrifying shudder. I mean, imagine if the whole world of the United States of America were one large, small town, and the main bank in that town failed. Then you would have exactly what happened in America in 2008, 2009, only greatly simplified. So that's what happened. It should not have happened. The federal government could easily have stopped it from happening. Didn't stop it from happening. It was extreme ignorance and lack of imagination and intelligence on the part of the Bush administration, and they rightly should be condemned to a history of extreme criticism for their mistakes.
Really, that was a scary time.
It was a very, very scary time. A very, very scary time, and a lot of people lost their houses. And see, the people that bought houses with subprime mortgages thinking, well, if things get tough, I can always sell it and buy another one. Then they couldn't because the banks stopped making subprime loans. The banks stopped making any kind of loans for quite a while. And so the entire economy, as the saying goes, seized up, which is what happens when an automobile engine runs out of lubricating oil. It seized up. The lubricating oil of short-term indebtedness was suddenly absent, and there was just a tremendous crunch of gears against gears as there was no lubricating oil to lubricate the system. It was a serious, serious mistake by the federal government. But I mean, when I say a serious mistake, I mean a really, really, really serious mistake.
Yeah. You are predicting that situation like that will never happen again, yes? History doesn't repeat?
Well, no, actually,
inflation
history did repeat itself.
Yes, before.
We had in 1929 and 31, the exact same thing happened. There was a big bank called the Bank of the United States, and it was a very large bank. It was threatened by poorly underwritten loans, and nobody thought the government would allow it to fail, but the government did allow it to fail, and that was what started the chain reaction that made the whole banking system start to collapse and led to the long-term crash of the market. The original crash of the market in the fall of 1929 was a temporary thing. It was caused by people covering up margin buy. I don't know if you know what buying on margin is, but buying on margin is buying stock with borrowed money. And if you buy on margins, but in those days, this is incredible to believe now, but you could buy a stock with 10% down. But if the stock went down, they had to sell you out to cover the loan right away. So when the market went down just that one day, there was an enormous amount of selling out to cover the margin loans. And it was just an absolute quagmire of despair for the banks and for the stock buyers, stock owners. Just a disaster. I mean, and now we have essentially the same thing happened in 2008, 2009, when the government let the bank, let Lehman Brothers fail. They should never have done it. They should never have even considered doing it, but they did. And it sort of shows you that if you have very ignorant people running the government, they will make mistake after mistake. And I could easily see it happening again. I could easily see it happening again. I would by no means say that it's a certainty that it won't happen again.
It will not happen again. Okay, now, do you think there is no bad time to invest in a stock market?
If you take the right time perspective, there's no bad time. I mean, if you're... I see her sitting across from us is your lovely daughter.
Yes.
I don't know how old she is, but I'm guessing she's in her early 20s.
Yes.
So she's for her, there's no bad time to invest.
You see, that's my next question.
Okay, but I'm 73, so there could be a bad time for me to invest in the stock market, because if it's going to stay down for a long time, that would be a disaster for me. But it's unlikely it will stay down for a long time. There hasn't been a crash in which the market crashed and then stayed really, really low for a very, very, very long time. And it's crashed, but then staying down for a really long time. That hasn't happened since the late 60s, early 70s. And it's unlikely it will happen again. We've sort of figured out what to do when that happens, which is to have the Federal Reserve just pump money into the system as fast as they can, and to elevate the level of money available for lending. And so that when they do that, there can't really be a prolonged crash, although one never knows, but they can't really do that. What happened in 2008, 2009 was not only did they allow Lehman Brothers to fail, but then they didn't step in and say, we're going to solve the problem. We're going to go to the banks and say, look, banks, go back to making your loans. We'll guarantee all your loans. Some people at the Federal Reserve did propose that solution. They said, just guarantee all the loans. And that would have been a great, great thing to do. But they didn't do it. And so instead, bank lending greatly slowed, and the recovery was very slow. Now bank lending is pretty lively, and so the economy is very, very strong. But this lending thing is a huge, huge part of the economy.
Yes, and you were mentioning young people. Obviously, I am from Poland, from Europe. For me, especially when I was young and living in Poland, Wall Street, stocks, this was something that I didn't understand. I know that you wrote a recently book, and I think we need to talk about this book because it's very easy to buy. It's not too expensive.
Not
and
expensive
really
at
teaches
all.
Teaches us, yes, you know, how to deal with investing.
Well, the book is a very simple book. It's called The Capitalist Code, and it could not be simpler. What it basically says is your life will be much happier if you have money. And the way you get money is to save it and to put it into the stock market. Because when you put it in the stock market, you essentially acquire a business. I mean, the happiest people money-wise are people who inherit a business from their parents or grandparents. That's a great thing to have.
Yeah,
most of us don't do that.
Don't do that.
So what we can do, though, is we can inherit, our older selves can inherit a business from our younger selves. If our younger selves buy stocks and let them accumulate and let them grow, then it's essentially the same as when we're in our 50s or 60s or 70s. We've inherited a business from our parents or grandparents. And this is what I think we should all try to do. See, if you go to your broker, at Fidelity or Merrill Lynch or Vanguard or anywhere, and you say, I'd like to buy the S&P index. That's the index of all the stocks in the Standard & Poor's 500 Industrial Index. And they will buy for you a tiny, 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 minuscule portion of the stocks in that index. Tiny, tiny, tiny amount. But if you keep adding to it month after month and then let it grow as the economy grows, pretty soon you have a fairly good head of steam. Yeah. And you have essentially you own a business. Only your business, instead of being a chain of liquor stores or a chain of dry cleaning stores or a mine or a factory or an oil well, is all the stocks in America. But you own a tiny, almost incalculably small amount, but it's enough so that if it keeps growing, it can support you in your old age. And you essentially become an heir to your own self when your own self was younger.
Okay, then why nobody's teaching young children or teenagers in schools? Why the book is not available?
It's available.
You need to go to the school system and say, this is the book.
Well, I don't want to go to the schools.
You don't?
No.
Why? But
I don't like being around young people that much. But anyway, I like being around my wife and my dog, but that's it.
What is the name of your dog?
Julie.
Julie, she's not here.
That's
we
not
have
Julie. That's we have six cats.
Six?
Yeah, my wife loves cats. It's a terrible thing. But anyway, so no, people should be being taught that it's incredibly important to acquire capital. I mean, the difference between we live in a capitalist society. That's a miracle. We don't have to depend on the state. We don't have to depend on the Communist Party. We have to depend on ourselves and the head of steam we develop by having a capital of our own. Now, in Anya's case, she has her real estate brokerage firm, and she has some real estate. So that's her capital. But she could also have capital in the form of stock. And I personally believe stock is better because stock doesn't require any maintenance. Nobody's going to be calling you at 2:30 in the morning and saying your toilet is blocked up. And also, you can sell it at I'm snapping my fingers here, not loudly enough. But anyway, snap, 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 snap. And you can do that with stock, which you can't do with real estate. So it's a very, very important thing. Oh, there goes my dog down the stairs.
It's very important.
Yeah, it's a very, very important thing to be able to liquidate your capital very, very quickly.
Okay, Anna Sadowska, I would love you to maybe give us some advice. Do you think the time is now to invest into buying your first property?
Well, you're asking a real estate professional, so I'm always going to say, and that's from my own experience and my buyer's experience, that it is always a good time to invest in real estate. However, we have Ben sitting here next to me, and at a certain point, you can do both or you can do either or. I'm at the stage in my life where I'm ready to explore stock market, and I'm very scared, but I'm grateful to have such wonderful advisor as Ben, just always unwavering and confident and giving this great advice as today. But as far as real estate for anyone, if you have 20% down payment and the interest rates are down, which is right now pretty low, 30-year fixed mortgage interest rate today is about 4.4. Yeah. So historically, that's pretty good. You can get a 15-year fixed for under 4. So if you do have that down payment, it's always, always, always a good time to invest in real estate. I can't stress enough how many people, how many clients, how many family members I know that all they had to do was to buy one house, and they're well off right now when they're older, for example.
Yeah, but there are plenty of people who bought houses, and then they couldn't sell them for years at a time. If you'd bought a house in 2008, you probably couldn't sell it till 2011.
Yeah, that was very unfortunate, and I was in the mortgage business at the time, and I originated a lot of those mortgages, and I had gotten one of those bad mortgages, but you can't just crash by one bad experience. It's like they say, if you ever kissed a man with a bad breath, would you not kiss a man ever again? So if you fall, you try to get up again, and I wouldn't discourage anyone from trying to do it again. Most of those buyers at that time, Ben, they never had to put any money down.
Right, even here, we're sitting here in the middle of Beverly Hills, in what I think is one of the very best parts of Beverly Hills.
Absolutely.
And even in this neighborhood, there have been times when houses were on the market for 3 or 4 years at a time before they sold. So, and now they'd be on the market for 3 or 4 hours before they sold. But there have been times when they're on the market for years. So you do not have instant liquidity. I agree. Over long periods of time, real estate is a great super investment. And especially if you count the imputed rent of the fact that you get to live in it rent-free, and there's no tax on the imputed rent. An imputed rent is an amazing, incredible tax benefit. Then that is a good deal. But if you are in a situation where you might need liquidity suddenly, that's not necessarily the best investment.
No. You buy and hold if you can.
If you can, then you're all set.
No, but I'm still talking about young people. They need to make a decision. Is it better to invest in stock and wait because this is a waiting game? Or is it better to really put down whatever amount of money they already have and just sit and think that's my property and keep it? Maybe one day I will buy something else and allow it to be rented, like we were talking in our segment on Early Talk Radio. I still don't believe that we have somebody to help young people with this decision. You have a band that you can ask this question, but I'm as a mother and also a woman who talks to a lot of young people. They're in America, living in America, and they're not informed well, and they don't know where to go to ask the questions.
Well, I'd say if you're a young person just starting out,
yes,
probably you should just buy a house right away. And then as you accumulate enough money to buy stock, then buy stock. But I'd say it's a very good idea to get into your own house very quickly and start building up some equity in that house. But again, there are so many variables in buying real estate. I mean, you could buy a house in the wrong neighborhood and it'll never go up. It will simply never go up. It will just never go up. I'll give you an example. We have down in the desert, in Rancho Mirage, which is really, really a nice town in the desert, we have a stupendous house. You've seen our house, haven't
yes,
you? It's just a gorgeous, we have two of them. One is a fairly ordinary house, but one is just a stupendous house. And we bought it in roughly 11 years ago. We still couldn't get what we paid for it, not even close. And that's in a very nice neighborhood with very, very high-end customers and residents and neighbors. So you can't be sure. There are many, many, many factors that go into the decision. I think for a young person, though, it's good to start accumulating some equity in his or her house. It's a form of forced saving. But then as soon as you can, start to diversify into stocks.
Okay.
And don't try to pick stocks. That's the main thing, is don't try to pick stocks. Just buy the index. Don't try to pick the next Microsoft or the next Facebook. Just buy the index.
Wonderful. Ben, you are a very accomplished gentleman, and you live life to the fullest.
Well, I don't really live it to the fullest.
Oh, you don't? Okay, I think you did. But what you are the most proud of?
Of everything in my life?
Yeah.
Well, I try to take good care of my wife. I think that's the thing I'm most proud of.
Every man, please listen. That's a beautiful, beautiful advice. You're right. When you are happy in your relationship, I think everything doesn't really matter. Ups and downs, yes, you can.
Well, it's very, very important to treat your wife right. And I have a son. I try to treat him right. He's a very challenging human being, but I try to treat him right, try to treat the dogs right. But in terms of my professional life, I think by far the best thing I ever did was work for Richard Nixon, who was a great, great man and a great peacemaker, and made peace between the U.S. and China, helped to make peace between the U.S. and Russia, although I don't trust the Russians as far as I can throw them. I don't think any Pole trusts the Russians as far as I can throw them. And isn't that true? That's true, is it not? I don't know. I worked for a long time busting the Drexel Milken financial fraud. I don't know if you remember Michael Milken, but he was a big junk bond purveyor from here. And that was, I think, a very questionable scheme. I wrote a lot about that in Barron's and helped bring him down.
So, you are not afraid to go into dangerous territory.
It was dangerous territory. Yes. It cost me a lot.
Yeah, of course, you mentioned our practically two presidents that you were speechwriter for them,
right.
For Nixon and for Ford. But, okay, what is the biggest failure in life?
Well, I wish I'd bought more Berkshire Hathaway.
Aww.
I wish I had bought more of just every... I'm extremely extravagant, and I wish I had not been so extravagant and had more thrifty ways and put more money in the stock market and less money into luxurious living and into real estate.
But people say you live once.
My life involves also a tremendous amount of financial fear because, although I have much more money than the ordinary citizen by a lot, I still have a lot more liabilities than the ordinary citizen. I support a lot of people. I'm a very soft touch, and a lot of people come to me for support, and I give too much money to people.
Okay, that we need to only say thank you for that. Because not so many people really like to do that, and they don't have easy open pocket book. And I know you are writing, supporting charities, and you are very...
It's not only charities, but poor, sort of poor, pathetic individual people who write me sob story letters.
Okay, we can bring a few of them. We all can,
I want to say
help.
I'm the first one to...
me too?
Yeah, to...
She does not need money. She's a well-to-do woman.
She's
Anya
wonderful,
is a well-to-do
very
woman.
Smart lady.
She does not need money.
Thank you very much, but I'll vouch for what you said, and I want to say God bless you, because you probably don't even know how much you impact those people's lives and how many of those people... don't give you the feel of being grateful as they should. So I'm here to speak
in
their behalf because you have brought a lot to my life of your knowledge and friendship and humor, which I appreciate and adore. And I'll tell you, but I also want to tell you that in the name of those people that don't tell you.
Well, God bless you. That's very kind of you. That's very, very kind of you.
True.
And all of us have dreams. I said, I am in America right now. My very big dream is to turn Accent On into a TV show and have people who are having different roots coming and talking about their life stories and just maybe focusing on not so negative part of that, being outside and in America, but just really talking about us, the unusual, colorful people, as one. And showing how much we bring to this country and how much America gains by opening the borders and just enjoying us.
Well,
and
I don't.
No TV show
it depends
that.
On who we open the borders to. If we open the borders to people like you and Anya and your daughter, that's fine.
I know we are well educated, and that's what we do.
If we open the borders to people who are bringing in drugs and kidnapped, trafficked women and so forth, then that's not so good.
And you mentioned trafficking. It's amazing because we are just working with organization, Rock Against Trafficking, just devotes a lot of talent of great artists and create albums that all money will go to the charity. Childhelp.org, also organization that I'm working with, is against child abuse. And what I find out that people, doesn't matter what race, what accents, how smart they are, when it's time of trouble, we are one. And that's what I think.
Well, that's a wonderful attitude.
I need to
it's
have like that
attitude.
Because I am in America and I was not born here and I call America my home too, but I want
it is
a lot
your
of
home.
Yeah, this is my home. And then if we are talking about dreams, do you have private dreams, something as a hobby, something that is not so maybe important and money related, something else? Do you have something?
Well, if your viewers could see, I'm watching my ancient dog walking up the stairs to my wife's room. And she's walking very slowly because she's very old. And my wife is walking very slowly because she's not in good health. And my goal for my dream for the rest of my life is to spend as much time as I can just lying in bed with my wife and my dog.
Yeah, just too sweet.
No, that is always my
life.
Goal. My time spent in bed with my wife, just lying in bed with my wife, is the best time I could possibly spend.
I'm sure you have many, many years to come. Anya, I would love to ask you the same. I know you're a very good businesswoman, and I am lucky to have you on our show monthly. And I know our relationship is right now even stronger because we found another different things that keeps us going. But you outside State of Realty, you have a lot of things going on in life. You devote so much time to sports, to something that I don't do.
I do.
And also, I know you're writing your first book, yes?
Yes, yes. So what's my ultimate goal or dream for right now? Is that the question? Oh my gosh, I really do have a lot going on. As of this month, it's my next race, which is my triathlon coming up on March 4th in the desert. So I just want to be able to do well at that. But further away, book is one of them. I've been writing every morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm up writing my book. It's going to be a comedy about me and my twin sister and our lives and how we immigrated to this country and how we were always together. And I'm not saying this kind of funny story, we were twins and we fooled people, ha ha. It's not like that. It's
you don't look at all like your sister.
I think we do.
I don't think you do at all, but okay,
we have
ahead.
Another one too.
Oh, you have another one too. She's
a big part. She's gonna be a big part of our story. But my dream is just to invest in stocks. That's my next dream, really. That's my challenge.
But that's a that's a means, not an end. I mean, what do you want the money for? What would you do with the money if you did
How
really
you
well
spend investing? The money.
What would you do with it?
I just want to be able to be well on my own and be able to have a home, afford my life, and give a part away, and that's it. I don't have a huge dream of owning, per se, a mansion or a number on where I need to be and where I need to do.
Way.
I just want to be able to help my mother, make sure that my loved ones and my family and people around me are satisfied and safe and have the nice things that I like, because I do enjoy finer things in life. And that's just because that's what I like. So I want to be able to afford to have it and enjoy it. And that's about it.
What are the finer things in life?
Nice clothes, nice quality vehicle, nice place to live. That's
I
all.
I want to travel.
Good food,
that's
travel.
Our goal with my daughter. Practically most of our savings is going towards travels. And
where do you want to travel?
We already do, Natasha. Where we are visiting a lot of countries. This is our third or fourth visit into Europe. And this year we'll be seeing
Very nice.
I work at Lionsgate, so visiting their office or Polish distributors.
Very nice.
Being more well-versed in the international market as well.
Well, that's great. That's fabulous.
Yeah, that's our goal. And really, of course, dream is for me to have her safe enough that she can put down payment and own apartment first, maybe, condo or something, in Europe. Because she loves so much to travel to Europe, and here until we can, nothing wrong with renting. Sorry, but
no,
I know
there's nothing wrong with renting at all. Nothing wrong with renting at all.
Because she's young, 23, and I am from Europe.
Very young.
Yes,
very young.
And I think she needs to see the world, because I think Americans really do not like to travel too much. They prefer the vacation over and over in the same places. Oh, let's go to Hawaii. Let's go to Mexico. Let's go Hawaii, Mexico. But the world is the so big place to see and learn from. And I'm sure you were traveling a lot in your lifetime.
Oh, a lot.
And if you can tell us...
Astonishing lot.
Astonishing. And you see, you talk to people and they have different perspective on everything. And sometimes people want less than more. Sometimes people will focus all on family. Some people will devote their tiny little business, but then still they have time for friends and family and easy contacts. It's a little different here in America. You really need to pre-organize your lifestyle because people are very busy.
People are very busy. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. I read yesterday a story about Albert Einstein, who said that the theory of happiness was to live a quiet life. And I think Americans don't do that. Americans don't really aspire to a quiet life. Americans aspire to a life of success and ambition. Like
more,
our friend Anya
bigger,
here.
More bigger,
faster.
Larger,
thank you for telling that. I'm preaching that too. I'm like, please stop people. It's not about even smelling the roses. But if you build your own small place that you call happy place, place. Mm-hmm. I think you can build and grow from that. I just accept all what I'm doing. I have tiny dreams. So we are talking about the accent on or just writing music and talking with a lot of great people. Like,
are you writing accent music? I didn't know you were writing music.
No, I am a musician.
She's
I'm writing and producing a lot of albums for a lot of people all around the world. Mm-hmm. And of course, Natasha is a singer.
You couldn't pay me enough to sing.
And I think with your books, with your films, with being an actor, comedian.
I live it the way I like to live it, except I have an awful lot of fear. I have too much fear in my life.
How we can help you?
How you can help me? Right. I don't think you can help me.
Of course. We are here.
Quiet
Anya.
Time.
Anya, to
you
yes,
can only
to
help yourself. And
oh, maybe good food. What about good food? What do you like to eat the most?
You can tell.
Me too. Not her. She's just perfect.
She doesn't eat anything.
Yeah, what is your favorite food?
Salmon.
Oh, is this escape? No dessert, like ice cream or cakes?
No,
or
salmon.
Salmon.
And I like to make it myself. I make it on the grill out there.
I'm telling one more time that I am just so excited to have the chance to talk to you. Anya, thank you for introducing us
my great pleasure.
To your friend.
My great pleasure as well.
But
thank
I would like to tell. I would like to end with this.
Yes.
The stock market is a miracle. It allows the ordinary citizen to essentially own his or her own business with complete liquidity, with a total absence of possibility of debt for bankruptcy, and will, if you apply yourself to saving in it regularly, give you a pretty much carefree, financially, old age. And that the stock market is a genuine miracle.
That's very optimistic. Thank you so much.
You're
Thank
welcome.
Thank you again.
You're
for
welcome.
Today.
God bless you.
Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless Thank you. You.
Siempre. darkness I can see a glimpse of who I wanna be. Dancing moments in the air. I wanna run, see what I can become until I've won. I'm running far and wide, searching land and sea. I never starlight I can see. Imagine who I'm gonna be.
Listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.